He's the national president of Unifor. Of course, if you don't know, they are one of Canada's largest private sector union, and they're trying to organize players in Quebec and then all across the 60 CHL franchises. President Jerry Diaz joins us. Jerry, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you tonight?
I'm doing well, Jerry. The first question, this was tried a few years ago, and, it got out of the blocks. It didn't look great. The Gumbly brothers were involved in that, and they had a history that wasn't great with Hockey Canada. So I guess my first question is, are you involved in any way with the Gumblys?
No, we met with the Gumblys originally, and we had a good discussion about what the issues were. The Gumblys have turned it over to us.
Okay. So I guess from your vantage point, what's the end goal? What's the benefit if you could ever get a CHL players union?
Well, the end goal is to make sure that these young men are taken care of. I mean, ultimately, they need to have full access to the scholarship that, in our opinion, they have earned. For every year they play, they should have access to a full scholarship. There shouldn't be any catches. There shouldn't be any time limit as to when they can use it, because only about half of them ever really do use the scholarships are entitled to. And then not only that, I mean, in some regions, depending on where you play, depending on where you were raised, you're entitled to $2,500 scholarship. Depending on other areas, you can get up to $7,500 a year. So there's some real issues as it relates to their education, because we all know that it's only a real small minority of the players ever do make it to the NHL.
Yeah, I think it's 98% of Western Hockey Leaguers don't go to the NHL.
No,
now, and you bring up a good point about the scholarships, because I know in for a lot of them in the Western League, now some guys can make their own deal individually, and if they have somebody negotiating on their part, that it doesn't have a timeline. But often it's basically a year after they're done the WHL, they get 1 year to go play pro hockey, and then they have to make a decision to continue their pro career, which usually is at the AHL or the ECHL level, or give up their scholarships, right? Would moving it to even like an entry-level deal situation be something that would be in favor of, rather than like they have 15 years to use it?
No, the bottom line is it's something that's earned. If I played 3 years, I'm entitled to 3 year scholarships. I mean, some people are going to continue to chase their dream. They're going to go to Europe to play hockey. They're going to do different things. A lot of times people are playing hockey. Young men are playing hockey for 4 or 5 years. They're going to want to work. They find themselves in debt. Their individual circumstances may dictate that they have to work. And then 3 years later, they say, you know what, it's time for me to go back to school and turn things around. So in my opinion, the scholarship has been earned. If I play a year, I'm entitled to a scholarship for a year. If I play for 4 years, I'm entitled to 4 years.
What do you feel is going to be your biggest stumbling block to get a union?
Well, I mean, there's going to be several stumbling blocks, mainly the owners and the CHL. People are very, very comfortable with the way things are today, frankly. I mean, think about it. In the Western Hockey League, players get paid about $50 a week. In Quebec, they get paid about $35 a week. In Ontario, they don't get paid at all. They have a reimbursement plan, but I don't know a lot of 15, 16, 17-year-olds that go to school up until lunch, hit the arena after lunch, spend time on buses, road trips, 3-4 days. I don't know how many of them have a lot of money in their pockets that they're going to pitch out on front and then be reimbursed. So obviously we have to have some discussion about some fair compensation. There's some teams that are doing incredibly well. But then, of course, I mean, there's the other tragedies out there. There's the Tim Bozons of the world, the young man from France that was in a coma that ended up racking up about $300,000+ worth of medical bills. He didn't have proper insurance. They didn't provide proper insurance. I mean, there was a lot of fundraisers. There was a lot of this to help him. But we ought not to be in that type of a situation. The Terry Traffords of the world, poor young kid, gets cut. He ends up committing suicide. There's no infrastructure, nowhere for him to go. And, so there's so many issues. I mean, what happens to a young boy, a young man who's injured on the ice? He has a severe injury. What type of insurance does he have? What happens if he's permanently injured? His hockey career is over. There's a lot of issues that we just need to talk about candidly.
Very good points. Joined by the president of Unifor, Jerry Diaz. So, Jerry, the biggest challenge I see actually is getting a lot of players willing to join the union without the fear of retribution or being cut from a team.
No question about it. I mean, there is a lot of fear. A lot of the players we're talking to, a lot of players right now, actually, some players that are in Europe right now are even afraid to come forward and be visible because they're afraid that the long hand of Canadian hockey or junior hockey is going to, or Hockey Canada, is going to reach and negatively impact it. So there's no question. You're dealing with young men with dreams, and I understand that. The key players in this will be their agents. Key players in this will be the parents that will speak to them. Ultimately, this is really just about making sure that the overwhelming majority of players that never will make it to the NHL are given what they're entitled to and are fairly compensated. It's any more complicated than that.
So if the players are scared, and you know, some have maybe said, yeah, okay, I wouldn't mind being part of this. Like in most cases, when there's a drastic change, you know, somebody's got to be a leader, right? Like I know it's on a completely different level. We saw it with Jackie Robinson. You know, it took a lot of courage to do what he did. Do you, like, how many players will you need, and will you look and say, we can't do this unless we have minimum of 100 players together, so, you know, there can't be one guinea pig or one guy who can be blackballed by the leagues?
No, it's interesting, because the players that are, who are the most vocal are ones who have been there, who are in their fourth year. Those who are stalwarts of the teams, true leaders on their teams, they're not really concerned. So those people are, those young men are coming forward. But the whole issue of, we're going to have to do it based on leagues, for example, because there's different labor codes, there's different rules for organizing. For example, in Quebec, if we sign up 50% plus one players on a team, then it's an automatic certification, then we would go into bargaining. There's different laws in Ontario, there are different laws, candidly, in each of the provinces. So we need to deal with the legalities up front.
So you're starting in Quebec, correct?
Correct.
Okay. And any reason why you started in Quebec rather than Ontario or the Western League?
Yeah, two reasons. Number one, the overage players in Quebec, if you can imagine, they unilaterally cut their wages from $550 a week to $150 a week. Just unilaterally. So that has people just furious. And on top of that, the labor laws in Quebec is if you sign 50% plus one, they're automatically deemed certified. So it's different guidelines, like I said, in different provinces. So unionization in Quebec is a little more straightforward. And plus, like I said, the attack on the overage players.
Okay. So you've started the process, Jerry. Where would you say you're at as far as Quebec? Like, how close are you to that 50.1?
No, we're in the most preliminary stages, to be candid with you.
Okay.
We've really only started to really get into it. We've just got the list of the players. We've got a list of the agents. So we're really are starting this thing from ground up. We, like you said, the Gumleys had the previous organizing drives. We've talked to them. They provided us with the information, which has saved us a significant amount of times. Now we're talking. We've got people working for us on the ground, young hockey players, people that graduated a couple of years ago or finished hockey a few years ago that are still quite familiar with a lot of the existing players. So we're at it. So, but we're in the most preliminary of stages, candidly.
Okay. Now, you're a trade union, right? That you basically launches a merger of the Canadian Auto Workers, Communication, Energy, and all those sorts of sectors together. How much different would this be in sports compared to Canadian Auto Workers, Communications, Energy, etc.?
Well, bargaining is bargaining, and people are people. There's no question this will be a different relationship. This isn't going to be your typical manufacturing setting where, you know, people come to work, they clock in the morning, they work for 40 hours a week, they go home. This is completely different, no question about it. The dynamics are different. And so we're going to have to approach it differently. So that's why in this type of a situation, we'll work with young hockey players, because young hockey players who are active want to talk to people that have played hockey, that have been through the system, that understand what the issues are. So there's no question this will be different, but it's all about making sure that people are taken care of. It's about making sure that people aren't exploited, candidly. It's about doing what's right. It's about a collective voice versus an individual voice. So we are really just looking to help here. This is, people are saying, oh, this is a union money grab. I never heard so much nonsense. The reality is that what are we going to charge kids in Quebec that make $35 a week? So give me a break. It has nothing to do with that. It has everything to do about the debate. It has everything to do about justice. You know, for Terry Trafford and Tim Bozon, it has everything to do with making things right.
Now, is there a possibility, because, you know, some people look and say, you know, paying these kids more money at the time might not be beneficial because they'll just spend the money and they won't save it. Would you be looking at maybe, you know, creating accounts that the teams have to put it in, so then when the player's done, you know, if they're asking for more money per se, or if they're asking for, you know, the guaranteed on the scholarships, is that the main thing? Like, would you guys ask for more money per week, or is scholarship the number one guaranteed priority?
Scholarships and insurance are absolutely critical, but people need money to live as well. You have to remember that a lot of these young men are uprooted from their families. They're billeted. They're sent to other families. They live in completely foreign towns in cities. So I don't know how somebody survives, even if their lodging is provided. Even if their food is provided. I don't know how an 18-year-old survives in Quebec on $35 a week. So there has to be some fair compensation. But believe me, this isn't about breaking the bank, you know, anything but. But this is really about how do we make sure that they're in a position that once they finish their hockey career in junior hockey league, that at least there's a clear path to moving forward.
Now, the $35, though, is for first years, right? Because you were mentioning how the fifth-year guys were up to $500.
No. That's they get 30 in Quebec. They get $35. Period. Unless you're overage, then the overage players, which are 20 years old, get paid more. So they used to get $550 a week. Now they get paid $150 a week.
So the 20-year-old
moving scale.
Well, the 20-year-old, and it's if you're 19, you're not getting like $200. It's 35, no. 35, 35 until you're a 20-year-old in Quebec. Oh, I did not.
Until you're an overage junior.
And Ontario, have they ever paid players?
Yeah, they used to pay them $50 to $55 a week.
And when
then they took that away. Let me give you an example of the type of things you're dealing with. They took away the $55 a week, $50, $55 a week, and put in a reimbursement plan. And here's why they did that, in my opinion. They did it to make sure that it would be tougher to argue that there's an employer-employee relationship. Therefore, it'd make it more difficult for these young hockey players to get together for a collective voice.
Now, I don't know this, Jerry, but can you join a union if you're under the age of 18?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So there's no legality factor to that. Have you had any conversations at all with David Branch?
No, I have not.
Do you plan on reaching out? He's, of course, the president of the CHL. Or because you're looking at individual leagues, you'll talk to the commissioners of those leagues individually first?
No, I don't want to put the cart before the horse, candidly. I mean, ultimately, if we're in a position that that we have the opportunity to speak on behalf of the players, then clearly I'm going to speak to Mr. Branch. But in the interim, like I said, I'm not going to put the cart before the horse.
Okay. So in preliminaries, you're doing Quebec first, and I'm guessing, do you know anything as far as the laws? Because I know there are different labor laws in Alberta and Saskatchewan and BC compared to the Ontario and even in Quebec. If a precedent works in the Quebec Major Junior League, would that be the goal then, that where the other junior leagues in the CHL would have to follow suit?
No question. I mean, if we start off organizing the teams in Quebec, then we'll move our way through Ontario and we'll move our way across. But we will have active organizing drives going on in the different locations in the different provinces, no question about it. But our real emphasis right now clearly is on Quebec.
And so would you announce players that are part of this who have agreed to it before you get to the 50+1?
No, that's the whole that's one of the whole issues.
Okay.
Unless somebody wants to come forward, because people are scared. You were dead on when you said that earlier on in the in this conversation. People are clearly nervous. So we don't want to publish their names.
Okay.
That just is the wrong thing to do. Like I said, unless they're saying, hey, I'll come forward and speak on behalf because I'm not afraid.
Well, Jerry, interesting stuff. We appreciate it. We'll be following the story. Thanks for your time.
Have yourself a great day. Take care.